I'm John Leo, editor of Minding the Campus, and my guest today is Clayton Christensen, the co-author of a new book that's got a lot of attention, The Innovative University. First book, I think it was your first, The Innovator's Dilemma, introduced your theory of disruptive technology. Now tell us what that is and how you apply it to the university and colleges in this book.
The question, John, that we were trying to address in the research behind The Innovator's Dilemma was, what is it that kills successful companies? And just across the sweep of business history, most companies, which at one point were widely regarded as unassailably successful, a decade or two later, you find them in the middle of the pack and often at the bottom of the heap. It turned out that they almost all succumbed to the same cause, and that is, some competitor came in at the bottom of a market with simple, affordable products that weren't nearly as good as what the leaders were offering. And therefore, it made no sense to go down and compete because it wasn't as good. They were selling it to customers that the mainstream didn't offer products for. But these guys then started at the bottom, and essentially what they set up was a system where the leader were motivated to walk away from them rather than fight them. So, for example, Toyota came into the American market, not with Lexuses, but in the 60s, a rusty little subcompact called a Corona. And then they went from a Corona to a Tercel, Corolla, Camry, Avalon, 4Runner, Sequoias, and then a Lexus. And General Motors and Ford were making big cars for big people. And they'd look at Toyota coming up at them, and they'd say, you know, we ought to go get those buggers. And they'd send down a Chevette or a Pinto. But then they would compare the profitability of a little subcompact with the profitability of a big SUV, and it made no sense. And that happens over and over again. So how does that relate to higher education? Well, actually, for the first 350 years, there was no relationship at all, because in that world, there wasn't a mechanism by which an enterprise that came in at the bottom of the market could move up to compete against the leaders unless they emulated what the competitors were doing. And everybody wanted to go up, but they had to replicate rather than disrupt them, until online learning emerged.
Well, tell me, what is the effect immediately on the universities? Some of them are dipping into online education, but do you think some of them will fail because of this challenge?
It will. It will change the economics really quite dramatically. And my guess is, unfortunately, that a significant number of enterprises that have been viable and really quite profitable for a long time are going to find themselves in really hard times. Mm-hmm. I bet you that it hits public schools, maybe even a little bit faster than some of the private ones.
You spend a good deal of time talking about Brigham Young University of Idaho. Of course, your co-author, Henry Ehring, is associated with that.
Yeah.
So tell us why BYU Idaho is important.
I think they have challenged a number of paradigms that were just viewed as immutable. One of them is that you can actually increase quality while reducing cost. The paradigm historically has been higher quality equals higher cost. And what they showed is that there's actually a lot of cost in a university that is deployed improductively. Like, you go in most of our buildings at any point after 2 in the afternoon, most classes aren't full. No, nobody's in them, you know. And you go around in the summer, and there's nobody there. And so one of the things that they've done is they've said, geez, we can actually utilize fixed cost in a very productive way.
Well, tell me this. What factors are the brick-and-mortar universities picking up now? How many are doing it, and how many you'd expect to escape destruction or obliteration?
Well, there are a number who have used online learning just to kind of plug the holes in the dike, mm-hmm, in a manner that I would call sustaining innovation. Help them try to make the existing business model continue to work. There have been a few, such as Southern New Hampshire University that have viewed it in a very different way. And let me describe two things about what they're doing that I think are quite interesting. The first one is, you know, there are actually a lot of students for whom higher education, it's important to have an on-campus experience. I need to grow up outside of the oversight of my parents, you know. But there are a lot of people who the worst thing in the world you'd ever want to ask them to do is to go on campus. They got a job, they've got children, and a traditional model just can't address them. And so they have created a separate college, essentially. They still call it the same thing, but this is for online learning, people that they couldn't ever address with the traditional model. And then second, they have developed curriculum for that new college that they make available around the world. And the revenue that that generates for them, tens of millions of dollars at very high gross margins, kind of changes another paradigm that we never thought could be broken. And that is, you know, if you've got a business that generates cash, and we are a nonprofit, tell me, would I rather have an endowment or would I rather have a business that generates free cash flow? It's not clear to me that I'd want to be in the business of raising an endowment.
Well, the politicians are going after the endowments now for taxability. Finally, I want to ask you about what are the conditions that you think have made the university scene ripe for disruptive innovation?
There really has not ever been price competition in higher education. It's always that you compete against higher quality and higher cost. And it's been bolstered by the system of student loans and Pell Grants. So if I want to study sociology, I could go to Cornell and study sociology. And when I get my BA, I could get a job as a retail clerk at Macy's, or I could go to Utah State University and pay much lower cost, study sociology, and get a job at Macy's as a retail clerk, you know. But the system allows me to go into debt for the high cost of an Ivy League school or a low cost of a state school. It doesn't matter. And it's in the Defense Department, we would call that cost plus pricing. And that's essentially what the universities have done, is cost plus pricing. And as that goes away, just that overhead of consumer debt then starts to weigh us down. They're going to need to go away from that. And price-based competition will, I think it will emerge. And for the institutions that have never thought about what that world is like, it'll be interesting.
Yes, it will be. Well, we've been talking to Professor Clayton Christensen, author of The Innovative University and professor at the Harvard Business School. Thank you very much, Professor.
Well, thank you for letting me come.
Thank you all for listening.